Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Self-Evident. My name is Jenna and my co-host today is Alyssa Sonnenberg. And we have our very special guest, Pastor Cesar LaFleur, back with us for round two. Earlier, we had a podcast with him that discussed his life story, his testimony, how God has used him in the pro-life movement and through his ministry now with Public School Exit and at his church to help kids get out of public school and learn about Christ and have a solid academic education. Today, we're going to be talking to him about something more theologically related. So he had his cap on for the ministry that he does for Public School Exit last episode, and now we're asking him to put his pastor hat on. So Alyssa, do you want to set up the question?
Sure. So Pastor LaFleur, thank you again for coming on for our part two. And last episode, we talked about Public School Exit and Good Soil, Good Seed and the importance of instilling in our children biblical values, biblical morals that the public school just does not have the ability to do. And what we're seeing in our generation is possibly a result of public school education that tells our children that, you know what, church is not that important. And even in conservative Christian circles that says, you know what, Sabbath, that was an Old Testament commandment. We don't need to worship on Sunday. And can you just speak to that as a pastor on your exegesis of scripture and tell us, what does scripture have to say about the importance of church?
Well, hey, thanks. This is a great conversation to have. It is interesting that you led in by mentioning even what's going on in the school systems. That's one of the negative outcomes on what's been going on with our government school system, is that generation after generation have been going further and further and further away from church. And away from even the scriptures. So we see this mass exodus out of church. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think like as recently as 1990, at least 67% of people said that they belonged to some kind of church. But now it's like 47%. And millennials especially, and and generations after that, church has become less and less relevant to them because of a lot of the things that they're learning in their government school system. Church in itself, and I think when we talk about church, we really have to define what it is that we mean when we say church. You know, are we talking about the living organism, that Jesus said was going to usher in the kingdom of God, or are we just talking about that organizational construct? Whereas by people, so we need to make sure that we're clear on that. And then also understand that Jesus only mentions the word church twice in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. But he talks about the kingdom of God over and over again. So the real concern for me, I am concerned about the people not going to church. Church is important, which is what they'll be talking about here. But it's also the rejection of the kingdom of God that's really, really, really troubling, and this is why it is so important that we have a spiritual awakening in this land and a revival even in the church of Jesus Christ, so that it becomes alive again, so that we can really show forth not only the power of the church, but the purpose of the church as well. But church is vitally important, and it's one of the things that generations are starting to miss now because of some of these new age doctrines, about issues like even the Sabbath. Is it necessary for us to worship on Sunday? Is that kind of like how you were looking at it?
Yes, yes. Right.
And is that necessary? And what's the really importance of the Sabbath? Well, I think if we keep one thing about the Sabbath in place, we could talk about commandments and why God gave them the commandments and what those things are supposed to do. But the most important thing when we talk about something like the Sabbath is to recognize that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And everything that God was making available for the children of Israel when he gave them the instructions about the Sabbath, he wanted them to have a time of rest from working. When he gives it, when he talks about 6 days the Lord built and on the seventh he rested, he says 6 days you'll do all your work, but on the seventh day that you will rest. And he says, remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. That's the Sabbath that we're talking about in the... Right. And so there was a reason for that. He wanted the children of Israel to experience a day of rest, a day that they can dedicate to worship. It was a day to stop working and experience liberation and freedom. It was also a day to protest against the servitude of work and the pursuit of money. And it was a day, time to honor God. That's why he thought that was very important for them. But now in the New Testament, Jesus represents all of those things, all of those elements of that day that God established were all represented in him. He becomes the Lord of the Sabbath because he says himself, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He says, therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. So the day in itself is not as important as focusing in on Christ, who came to be our Sabbath, who came to be all those things that God intended for us in the person of himself. And so it is important that we keep that in focus. But when it comes down to the whole thing about, so does that mean that we don't have to go to church? You know, that we don't, well, you know, scripture also addresses that. It says, don't forsake assembling yourselves together. He talked about coming together is how we spur each other on to good works. We are a family. We are the family of God. And what kind of family is it that does not get together? So there is a strength. There is a utility. There's a very important element to worshiping God, the Lord of the Sabbath, is that you do set aside that time to bring yourself with the family of God, to come together, to assemble ourselves together, and to worship together as a family of believers. And not only is that important to happen on a particular day of the week, but I believe that's what the everyday church is. You know, but when it comes down to, is it necessary for us to go to church? I absolutely believe that it is.
Right. Absolutely. And to your point that Christ is Lord of the Sabbath and that Sabbath was made for man, even from a practical standpoint, it makes me a bit sad when people, you know, continue working on Sundays, etc., and often treat it like just another day out of the week, when really it's a gift to God's people to say, hey, you don't need to keep working. You can have a day where you can just enjoy him. And our true fulfillment and joy is found in Christ. So why wouldn't we as believers want to just have a day to remember that and to rejoice that he is resurrected and to rejoice that we are secure eternally?
Right. Yeah. You know, this is such a layered conversation because even when you say believers, you know, and we understand that everybody who identifies as a Christian isn't really a believer, because a small percentage of the church has a biblical worldview. So when we talk about that, when we say, why people, believers, why aren't they really embracing this opportunity? Because there's a lot of people who identify believers who don't prioritize Jesus on the level that we really should. You ask the question, why would you want to just continue to work? Why would you want to just do those things? It's because, unfortunately, many times people, the priority is not Christ and knowing him and having this relationship with him. The goal is all of these other worldly things and all the, you know, the accomplishment, the money, the comfort, and all those other things. And so, you know, we place our trust and our faith into that, even above how we place it in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, yeah, the Sabbath would mean less to that person, because Christ actually means less to that person. I can't talk about this without sounding judgmental, but it's right. Absolutely. You know, Jesus is saying, look, come to me. You know, I'm going to give you rest. He said, come to me. I'm all of this. I am the Sabbath and all the things about it fulfilled. It's in me. So he's saying, have this relationship with me. And we'll say, okay, I want that. Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he talked about keeping the commandments, just like we're talking about? He said, what must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus said, you know, well, you know what the commandment says. He said, I've done all that. You know, I'm cool. You know, but what else do I need? What do I lack? He told him, sell everything that you have and come and follow me. And you know the outcome of that story. The rich young ruler said that's too much. You know, it's gone too far. And he walked away and he rejected what was the greatest thing could ever be offered to anyone. That was a lordship relationship with Jesus Christ himself. And today we have very many people who are doing that same thing. God, Jesus is saying, look, I want to be your Lord and your Messiah, not just your Savior. I want you to have this close relationship with me. And I want you to value that relationship with me above everything else. And there's a lot of people saying, well, that's too much. I can't give up this job because it pays too much. And so for I can't come to church because I have to prioritize that, because that's where the value is. Jesus said, where your heart is, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And unfortunately, a lot of people are rejecting Christ and the relationship that he's offering in order to be able to pursue the things that the world is offering. And so therefore, their priorities are out of whack. That's why there has to be a spiritual awakening and a revival in the church.
Absolutely. And even when we look at the mental health statistics that are in our country, I find it interesting, and maybe there's a correlation, or maybe I'm just reading into something, but the more and more there is a decrease of church activity, even attending and serving in church. Serving in church is very unpopular nowadays. You just go for the Sunday morning service and you leave, and there's nothing else throughout the week that you help with. That we're seeing more and more anxiety, more and more depression, more and more mental health issues in general. And I almost wonder if maybe there's a correlation that we are not truly resting in Christ and enjoying Him as our Sabbath rest, and that that is part of the reason why we're seeing such mental health issues today.
Absolutely. I mean, just think all of those things that Jesus was offering. You know, let not your heart be troubled. You know, you believe in God, believe also in me. Don't worry about your future. Don't worry. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. You know, I am your rest. All of you who are weary and heavy laden, offering to be our burden bearer. All those things that He's offering, when we reject that, then we keep all of those things on ourselves. And so we are worried about tomorrow. We are worried about this. We are carrying these burdens alone. We are struggling with these things because we're rejecting the peace and the joy and the love that Jesus Christ is offering, because we don't have confidence in Him being able to do that. We have more confidence in what we're able to work out for ourselves. But then that just leads to turmoil. You're always chasing the wheel. And so that's why the scripture says, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. You know, if you have a love for that, there's no room for the love of the Father in you. And so we understand what this world is offering. But you're absolutely right. That's why we have emotional sickness, mental disorder, family disorder, all these other things, is because we have a mass rejection of Jesus Christ and the peace that He's come to offer the world. He is that life, that Zoe, that eternal life, that spiritual life. He says, I've come that you might have that and have it to the fullness, have it abundantly, abundantly. But we're seeing a correlation there because people are rejecting that. And they're pursuing, they're trying to find satisfaction in a lot of different places. My mother told me when I was young, she says, there's always going to be an empty place in your heart and in your soul that you're going to be trying to fill, but only Christ can fill that. And if you try to fill that up with anything else, it's only going to lead you to a life of frustration, because nothing is going to be able to satisfy you and soothe you and to keep you and to guide you more than a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you should prioritize that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then He said, everything else will be added unto you. If there was one thing I would get this generation to see, is that once you get it out of order, if you don't seek Jesus Christ first, all the other things that you're going to be pursuing, they're not going to be fulfilling, because they're going to be out of order. They're not going to come the right way. And so that's why we see all of this sin sickness and this pain and this hurt and this anger and this angst. You know, that's how some of us was before we were transformed. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have changed. All things are going away. I used to be wrapped up in, I mean, a lot of people used to be caught up in it. But then we found Jesus and it changed our perspective. And we found, come unto me and you'll find rest. And it was only in Him that we were able to find that rest. And that's what the world needs, the rest of the Savior.
Amen. And I find it very interesting that even on a practical level, that having a personal life-saving, eternal life-saving relationship with Christ doesn't only bring spiritual benefits, it brings physical benefits. Mm-hmm. We see people are more joyful, they're more satisfied, they're more content, their identity is secure, they're not having these identity crises, they are not struggling with a lot of depression, they have lower anxiety. So even on a practical level, we see how God has made our bodies to find our rest in Him. Absolutely. And I find that so beautiful. So thank you for all of your insights on that right now.
Yeah, if you was in the church, we've been hollering, preach, preach. you're absolutely right. Listen, my grandmother used to say it all the time, and then I started reading myself, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so that's something I've had to come to grips with. You know, my personal testimony, you guys know, kidney failure in 2014, you know, 11 surgeries since then, constantly going through those things. And I asked God when it first happened, after I got over the initial shock, saying, okay, why did this happen to me? Then I said, okay, Lord, I trust that you're going to get something out of this to bring glory to your name. So ask him to give me the grace to be able to endure this well. And from 2014 all the way up to now, I've tried to have a joyful spirit, a joyful attitude, thanksgiving, praise to God. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm still alive. Thank you, I'm still here. Finding joy in order to be able to have the strength to overcome all of the other things that might be going against me. And it does, it relieves your mind. You know, you don't have to wake up all night just worrying all night. You can trust in God and you can go to bed and go to sleep. You know, even when you're not feeling well, you know, now let the weak say I'm strong and push through. Yeah, there is a practical physical benefit to having peace in Jesus Christ instead of worrying yourself to death over things that you cannot control.
I love how we just have examples of that in everyday life. And not that it's a quote unquote trying to prove God's existence, because God declares himself to exist in scripture in Genesis 1:1, but it's very interesting that we find these little aspects of life that point to a creator, that point to a God who rules over us and a God that loves us and sent his son to purchase us back. And I just find it so beautiful to be seeing these things in the culture. And it's very easy to become very saddened by what's going on. But when you look really deeper, you see God's hand and God's purpose in everything. And it gives us so much peace that, okay, the world seems to be going crazy right now, but we have a God who knows us intimately, who loves us, and who is never going to leave us.
Yes. And without that relationship with him, you can't experience that. You can't experience that kind of contentment. But that's exactly what it is that he came to offer. I don't think it was by happenstance. We know, we understand where Jesus came from, you know, from glory. He stepped out of eternity into time and he stepped out of heaven. And the Bible says that he relinquished all of his, you know, godly authority and all that. He became like a man and he went through all of the things that we go through. So I don't think it's by happenstance that God allowed him to go through that to show us, though, what true joy and victory really looks like. Because even though he was made humble and small and he was mistreated and all those things, yet he had the ultimate victory. And even after being killed and buried in the grave, he arose with all power in his hand. And so that's the understanding that we have, that no matter what it is that we might be going through, thanks be to him who causes us to always triumph. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And that should make a difference in the way that we approach life. We understand that no matter what, we are the winners. You know, we are the winners because of him who loved us.
And I wanted to go back to your point about being able to lay down and, you know, just sleep at night with the knowledge that God's got you. It really just demonstrates how you can have joyfulness throughout your physical, mental trials, but also through what's happening in the world. You can still trust him. It reminded me of a phrase that I had heard once where we live as Christians today is out of gratitude for what he did for us. So since he is the one who has paid it all and we have a clean slate in him, we don't have to worry about what's going on. We can fight back and we can be joyful about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there was the song, Jesus, I am resting, resting. You all have heard that song?
Yeah. Yes.
You
know, yeah.
In the joy of what thou art, I found in out the greatness of thy loving heart. I love that song because it just illustrates the peace, the joy, the grace, all of those things that we have because of him. And we can rest in that. You know, we can be at ease in that. You know, we can trust in that. And I think that if you tell young people, it's more than a cliche. It's an experience that we are recommending. Experience that for yourself. Learn, build a relationship with him till you get to the place where you can rest on his goodness. You can rest on his mercy. You can rest on the fact that he's faithful. You know, you can rest on all the promises that we have in scripture. I once was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. He'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. All of the assurances, you know, that even though we die, yet shall we live. All these are real. We can trust in them. You know, just very quickly, when I was pastoring in my previous church, had a very, very wonderful saint that had cancer. And he was in the hospital. He was in hospice. He was about to die. And so I had to visit him several times. And on one of the next to last visits, when I went there, he told me, he said, Pastor, I know that Jesus is my Savior. And I know that my destiny when I die is to be with him. He says, but I just want to be reassured. I just want to have that reassurance, you know, that all of his promises are true. And the only thing we do is just go to the scriptures, and we can just point out those promises of him and help them understand. And that spiritual peace that came over him, in that when he just, from the Holy Spirit, just had that reassurance that, yes, this is real. I am real. Your destiny is with me. You know, it changes even the way that you're going to approach death. So Paul says, look, hey, you know, to live for Christ, to die is gain. What is it? I don't have to fret over this life, because I know that my life is more than just this. And that's a peace that goes beyond understanding. That's what we call great peace, perfect peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. And that only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can only get that by spending time with him. So yes, he is the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath. He is that rest. He is that freedom. He is that joy. All of those things that God wants for us, all of those things are encompassed in Jesus Christ.
I think that's a beautiful, beautiful note to end on. So, Pastor, thank you so, so much for your insight and your wisdom and your encouragement and holding the front lines for us. It's a joy to work beside you and to be able to hear from you and glean wisdom from you.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'm a big fan of you guys as well. So you guys know that. And I hope something that I said today, adds something, to what it is
Absolutely.
That you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm. You have been one of my favorite interview guests.
Well, great. I appreciate that.
And with all of that being said, let us firmly continue to rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.